We're finishing up our series on the names of God, and next week and for the rest of this year, we were initially going to do 14 stories from Genesis, like the big stories from Genesis, but we're actually going to push that back until the beginning of next year and kind of have it as our big series to kick off the year. And we're going to just spend 14 weeks talking about who we are at the Village. And we're gonna go into why we do what we do, why we what our values are. It's been a while since we've gone through a series like that. So for those of you who've been around for a while, you've heard this series, but guarantee you it will be different a little bit, and it'll also be refreshing, I think, to just remember why we do what we do here at the Village. Now, tonight we are going to talk about the very last name of God. Now, names are an interesting thing, because in our culture, we talk about names, and like, my name's Eric, but if you heard, oh, the pastor at the Village's name is Eric, it does not tell you anything about me. You're not like, oh yeah, Erics are all like this, you know. They look like this, they got curly hair, they're kind of crazy. Yeah, that's what Erics are. No, it gives you no information, right? But if you were to say, oh, Eric is a Democrat, or Eric is a Republican, or the thing that a lot of us here at the Village kind of struggle with is, Eric is a Christian, right? Most of us who are followers of Jesus have a hard time with that word Christian, because there's a lot of things attached to the word Christian. It means you believe a certain thing. You mean maybe it's connected to politics. Every single person, when they hear the word Christian in this room, think slightly different things, right? We think slightly different things. And there are whole categories within Christianity of what kind of Christian you are. Maybe you're a charismatic Christian. Maybe you're a Presbyterian or Calvinist. There's all these things, right? And then maybe if you're in politics, when you think about names, then maybe it's, you know, you're a social Republican, whatever that means, or you're a conservative liberal, whatever that means. It's a lot of different things. Let me ask you this question, and you can just holler it out at me. Are there any other labels in our culture that really communicate a whole bunch of things by just saying that one name outside of the three names that I gave? Any other labels? Okay, Jesus freak. But what other labels in our culture do we have? Criminal. Very good. Criminal. What's that? Artsy fartsy. Okay. That's not one I've heard very much, but all right, we'll go with that. Free thinker. Okay. How about a name, like a label like Republican or Democrat or vegan? That's vegan. It's very good. Health nut, which would be a vegan. Oh, I mean, right. Hippie. Okay, good. What's that? Cosmically conscious, cognizant, Christ conscious. Okay, those are. We have lots of labels. Now, listen to what Psalm 9. And now, if you know anything about the Psalms, they're in the Old Testament, and they're like the song book for the Old Testament. So when you see Psalms, you could just say song, and we're going to look at song number 9, verse 10. It says, "Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." Those who know your name. In the Old Testament, as we've been hearing from all of the leaders, which I just want to pause and say, thank you, leaders, for speaking. You guys did awesome, and I just like everybody to give them a hand. They've done an amazing job, and standing up here in front of you guys is always a little nerve-wracking, even for me. But we've heard from all of them that the point of this whole thing is to get to know God, to get to know who Jesus is. Okay, and so the writer is saying that if we know the names, and in the Old Testament, a name tells you who you are. And what kind of names, just to do a little review, what kind of names and the meanings of names have we studied so far? We'll give you a little test. Give me, throw out some of the names of God that we've studied so far. Anybody? Come on. Jehovah Shema. Very good. Yes. Yeah, very good. Yeah, I'm not even going to repeat that. Do you remember what that means? The Lord who sanctifies, I think. Yeah. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Nisi. Throw out some of the meanings of these names. My banner. What is else? What? The Lord who provides. The Lord who sanctifies. Lord Yahweh. The Lord who heals us. We haven't covered that one, but that is one definitely. So all these names that we've covered are names that are really yummy and tasty. Like, God provides, and God is our peace, and God heals us. You know, they're ones that we really want from God. But tonight, we have kind of a bit of a harder one, and I wrote it up here, and it's Adonai. Okay? Now, can you all just say that? Adam. Now, it means master. Okay? Now, the name for God that we're going to look at tonight is Master. So when you say it and you're attributing it to God, you are saying that God is your master. And that says some things about you then. It says that you are his servant. But more importantly, I think it says you're his slave. In our culture, slavery is not good, right? We've had a whole wrestling with enslaving people. So us Anglo-Saxons who are here, our history is enslaving minorities. And if you're Irish, then you're lucky, because even though you're Anglo-Saxon, you were enslaved and beat up by the Irish, by the African-Americans and all the other minorities. So if you're Irish, everybody hates you. But other than that, right, Anglo-Saxons have oppressed people. And we've had these horrific wars, right? Or a horrific war. Well, but our country was founded on what? No taxation without being represented. We will not have anybody tell us what to do unless we can elect them to tell us what to do. Right? We do not like to be told what to do. It is built into our DNA. If you're an American, you do not like people telling you what to do. You want to do it on your own. So I think tonight you're going to have to wrestle a little with the idea that God is your master. Now, Adonai, this word, is like used 300 times in the Old Testament. The word Adon is used of like just human masters. But with the AI on there, it's not just God is your master. It means that God is your sovereign master. He is the master of everything. Sometimes Adonai will be put in front of the word God or the word Yahweh. So it's Lord God or Master God. Okay? Now I'm just going to read to you the first time it comes into being, so we can kind of, the first time it's used. It's used in Genesis chapter 15. And since we've been doing the names of God, Abraham has been coming up all the time. He's the father of Christianity, of the Jewish religion. He's the father of Islam. Everything goes back to Abram or Abraham. And so Abraham has been promised that he's going to have a great nation, and then he has this little dream in chapter 15 of Genesis, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Abram said, "O Lord God," right there, "Master God, what will you give me, since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" So Abram is saying, "Look, man, you're the master and I don't have any children." Okay? And once this comes in here, this sovereign God, and when you say sovereign God, you're saying the guy who can do anything he wants to do, "I don't have any babies, therefore your promise isn't going to work. So you've got to figure something out." So tonight what I want to do for you is I want to, you know, I haven't been in a lot of fights, but I've been in quite a few. I started in second grade, so I guess I've been in quite a few. I haven't been in a lot. They've gotten much more epic since I've gotten older. Okay, like the fights have gotten really awesome. They weren't so awesome when I was a kid. But when I was in the second grade, I lived in Globe, Miami, Arizona, went to this little elementary school. And in second grade, there was this kid named Johnny. And everybody knew that Johnny was the strongest in the second grade. Now, I have this other friend, and I don't remember his name, so let's just call him Fred. Fred and I were apparently tied for second place. So every single day, he and I would wrestle to see who was going to be second next to Johnny, right? Who's the second strongest in the second grade? Now, what I've learned about fighting, and I tell my wife and anybody else this, and I'll tell you guys, especially women, if you're ever threatened by somebody, what you need to do is you need to hit them in the throat as fast as you can and run away. Smile at them and hit them in the throat or the back of the neck and run. That's how you win a fight, okay? You don't understand it. So tonight what I'd like to do is hit you. I'm going to hit you in the throat with a little bit of hard medicine about the master that you might be serving. You see, because I know you're all rebellious, wrestling with authority kind of people like me, but when you see the word Adonai, you need to understand that when you say it, you are saying, my master God. And so let me just tell you, and try not to kill myself, what that might look like. The first thing is that God is master over nature. Or God is master over creation. Excuse me. God is master over creation. I'd like to read to you quickly Psalm 33, starting in verse 4. It says this, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him." All through the Bible, it says God created the world. Now, before you get your little proverbial panties in a wad, some of you think that God created the world in 6 days and 24-hour periods. Some of you think that a big explosion happened because God made it and then he created the world through evolution and other mutating modes. Here's the thing, neither of you know, but what we do know is that God created, and it is God's creation, and the Bible is not concerned so much on how that happened other than God did it. Okay? And for you, what that means, think about this, is that if you say, my Adonai, and God is the master of creation, that means that nothing that you own is yours. So that when you say Adonai, nothing of yours is yours. It's all God's. Now, we all, those of you who've been around here for a while, you know Rod. He's right there. Rod used to tell the story about Rod's car. But it really wasn't Rod's car, because he would say, it's God's car. And he said, my car is God's car, therefore you can borrow it at any time. And many of you have actually taken Rod up on that, right? And what Rod was trying to teach all of us is that nothing we own, including those of you who think you own your wife or your husband or your kids or your house or your cars or your Wii or your Blu-ray player or your bed, none of it's yours, which means something. It means that you are a steward. And you know what? As people, we are like two-year-olds, and mine is our favorite word, and our hands closed like this is our favorite way of standing. We hate losing things. And so my thing to you is, if you're going to say, Master, Adonai, my Adonai, what you're saying is all that I have is yours. You got to let that sink in a little bit. Let that be more than, oh, whatever, Eric. Let that be a little bit of a punch in the throat for you. What you own, the car out there, it's not yours. The money in your bank account, It's not yours. The second thing, it's kind of connected to this, is that God is master over nature. Okay, now if you're like, he's master over creation, of course he's master over nature, but think about it this way, because this is even a tougher pill to swallow. Psalms 107, starting in verse 25, says this, and speaking of God, "For he spoke and stirred up a tempest and lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and they went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wit's end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven." Well, those of you who are not new to Jesus, you know, or to the Bible or anything like that, you know that this is a foreshadowing of Jesus in a boat with his disciples. But listen to what's being said here. God made the waves go up and the waves come down. God tossed the boat. When people cried out, God was the one that calmed the waves. Here's the tough pill that you have to swallow when you say Master Adonai. Katrina, earthquakes, the telephone pole that blows over, all of the natural disasters, all the things that happen, God is in them. God allowed them. God is the sovereign over them. God caused them. You have to wrestle with that, okay? If you're going to say Master Adonai, you are saying the waves, the seas, the oceans, the earth, it's not just random stuff. God is involved and is master over these things. The third thing that you need to look at is that God is the master of the details of man's life. Because a lot of times, okay, so God's master over creation, God's master over the waters, but is God really master over me tying my shoe? I mean, Christians get into this debate all the time, right? Is God really sovereign over, did he know that I was going to put one foot out of the bed? Did he, before the other? Like, we debate those things. But God, when you say Adonai, my master, you are saying God is master over the details. Now, I'm going to take you to Jeremiah, which is an Old Testament prophet. He's known as the weeping prophet. He's the emotional guy in the Old Testament. He cries a lot. God makes him eat his words, literally. He's got some serious problems and needs counseling. But here's the thing about Jeremiah. The Babylonians, he told Israel, he said, here they come, they're going to take us, you need to repent. And all his buddies said, no, 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 we're going to put you in jail because we don't like what you have to say to us. And so here come the Babylonians or the Chaldeans, whoever they are. They're going to come and overrun them and take them, take all of Israel. And here's good old weepy prophet. Listen to what he has to say while he's sitting in jail. Ah, sovereign Lord. Which is Adonai. O Master Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth. By your great power and outstretched arm, nothing is too hard for you. You show love to thousands, but bring the punishment for the parents' sins into the laps of their children after them. Great and mighty God, whose name is the Lord Almighty. Great are your purposes and mighty are your deeds. Your eyes are open to the ways of all mankind. You reward each person according to their conduct and their deeds deserve. You performed signs and wonders in Egypt and have continued them to this day, in Israel and among all mankind, and have gained the renown that is still yours. You brought your people Israel out of Egypt with the signs and wonders and by the mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with great terror. And he goes on and on to say one very simple thing. God got Israel out of Egypt. God did this. God did that. God did this. It wasn't Israel. It was God. So here's the third pill that you need to swallow if you're going to say Master Adonai. You have to say God is actually the master of every little detail of my life. He is intrinsically, he is involved in all of it. And yeah, guess what? He's involved in the tying of your shoe. Now, did I say that he forced you to tie your shoe? No. You need to hear what I'm saying. This is important. God is the master of every little detail in your life. God is the master of Eisen over there. God is the master of the phone that goes. God is involved in all those details. A lot of times, what's really difficult for us is that you and I feel like we are the master of our own fate, right? To quote an old saying, we think that we're the ones who can get up and do it, right? I watched last night The Iron Lady. How many of you have seen that movie with Meryl Streep? It's about Margaret Thatcher. Man, that's an incredible movie. But she, and because of the era she came out of, her whole complaint about you and I is that we are all about feeling and not doing. But she was about doing. That what you do eventually defines who you are, right? And God says, no. I define who you are. I define what you do. I'm the one who's going to do it in front of you. The fourth, well, if God is involved in the little minute details of us, God is also involved and master over nations and countries. I love, this is the perfect example of this. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 28, is the story of Nebuchadnezzar and how he came to power and became great. And this is what he says at the peak of his power. Verse 28 of Daniel 4. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for glory of my majesty?" Even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. "This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms of the earth and give them to anyone he wishes." Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. You know, in our country, we talk about, I just had a conversation recently with someone who was talking about how they had this involvement with somebody who really believes that our nation is blessed by God. And the reason that we're blessed by God is a set of things that we've done right. We've done the right things, therefore God loves us. As if God was this exchange system, like you push the right buttons and God gives you what you want and blesses you. And yet what is very clear here is God puts people in power because God wants them in power. And God takes people down because God wants to take them down. And God has reason for that. So the fourth thing you have to wrestle with, if you're going to say, "My Adonai, my master, my sovereign master," is that God has put you in the boundaries that you are in. The reason you're here tonight is because God wants you to be here. God laid out your boundaries. God puts you here. One last one, and this is, God is master over the enemy. A lot of us in this world say, why do bad things happen if we have a good God? And we wrestle with that. Now, I'm not going to solve that problem for you tonight. I'm not going to make everything feel good for you. But I will tell you that there are very clear lines of evil and good. And you should never doubt that when you say, "Master Adonai," when you say to God, "You are my master," you are saying that he is the ultimate good, that there is no force that is stronger than him, and that the enemy is subject to him. Listen to this short little interaction between Jesus and Peter. Jesus is going to refer to Peter as Simon. But just listen to what he says. "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you." Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Now, just stop for a moment. If Jesus were to say to you, Satan has asked to sift you, the first question would be, and what did you say? I hope you said no. Like, I don't want to be sifted by anything. Certainly not Satan. But what does Jesus say? And I love this. Jesus says, I'm going to pray for you. And it's really interesting. The prayer that he prays for Simon is really a command. He's going to pray that in the midst of this trial with the enemy, that Simon will hang on to his faith, and because of this trial, he'll be able to strengthen other people. That's what he's going to pray. But here's the key in this. Jesus says Satan had to ask. And this is all over Scripture, but this is just a very cool place where it happens. Satan had to ask. He doesn't get to do what he wants to do. So when you say, Master Adonai, you are saying, you are master over the unseen world, the world of prince and principality, of the enemy, of Satan himself. That Satan does nothing without your permission. And what's clear is that even if God gives permission, there's a reason and a purpose in it. Now, what I'd really like to do is just leave you with that. I'll give you a little bit. But here's the thing. My reaction to kind of studying this was, oh my gosh, basically I'm out of control. God gets to do what he wants. And wow, I don't own anything, right? This isn't good. It doesn't sound like I want to follow God. But I've been on the earth for 40 years. For some of you, that's a long time. For some of you, that's hardly anything, right? But what I've learned in 40 years is that without God, there's chaos, right? And some of you would say, oh, no, everything's going pretty good for me. I guarantee you, and I'll sit down tonight, and if you think your life is good, give me a half hour, and I will prove to you that your life stinks and that the enemy has you, and if not, I'll pay you $5. Or call you a liar. There's your options on that. Okay? Because here's the thing. Living in this world, it's broken, and it has an impact on us, even when it's not us, right? So let me just quickly look here at, I'm going to need my Bible. I forgot to write this down, so some of you can help me here. I think it's Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. We'll see here. I can't find this passage. I will, but you can just pause here. Because in Matthew chapter 11, what Jesus says, and we talked about this passage in during Lent. Yeah, it's Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Having Jesus as your master, Adonai, having God as your master, listen to what God says, what Jesus says. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The name of God, Adonai, Master, is actually a really, really restful name. That when you can say Master Adonai, what you're saying is, I don't need to be in control. I don't have to worry about who's going to win in the end. I don't need to freak out because a Democrat or a Republican is being elected. I don't need to worry if Israel is going to blow up or not. I don't need to worry if someone's going to come by and shoot me. Because I know a loving God who promises me rest, who is in control of everything, is my master. So let me offer you tonight in closing just a couple ways for you to begin practicing resting with God. The first one, and it kind of comes out of these ideas of God being master over creation, nature, the details, nations, Satan, First one is, you need to be let go or cede ownership to your future. See, a lot of us spend a lot of time thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow or living in second grade on the playground, right? Living in the past. Spend a lot of time in the past or a lot of time worried about the future because we need to make sure everything's going to be okay for us because we're afraid. But if God is your master, you could actually live in today and just enjoy what happens today because tomorrow's got plenty. The second one is you need to cede ownership of your lords. You see, when it's Master Adonai, it's Lord of Lords or God of Gods. He's the master of all the gods. But you and I have lots and lots and lots of things that we worship, right? And we talk about this at the village all the time. You want to know what you worship? Think about the one thing that would make you angry if it was taken away from you. And you worship it. You've organized your life around it. You have enough emotional attachment to it that it's your Lord. So, let go. The way to begin to rest is to let go of the thing that has ownership over you. And last, this is a hard one. Begin to practice. You need to allow God to do what He wants to do with you. One of the things that I say a lot to people is you want to be a really good parent, you want to be a good husband, you want to be a good friend, you want to be a good student, you want to be all whatever, you want to be good in your relationships with other people, then the prayer that you have to start praying is, Jesus, what are you doing in that person's life? Jesus, what are you doing at my job? See, if you say Master Adonai, then your life is about Jesus. And the question is, what is Jesus doing? You know, a lot of times what we struggle with and we feel bad in our marriages or in our parenting or in a whole plethora of things that we do, it's mostly because we're trying to figure out what we should do. And then we feel real bad because we're screwing it up. And I would say, you want to rest, you want to have God as your master, ask Jesus what He's doing. What's He doing with your son, your daughter, your wife, your kids, your friend, at work, at school, all those things. So those are three ways to begin to step into that. I'm going to pray, and then Hannah's going to come up and do communion. So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for beautiful rain. Thank you for this community and the way they've loved me. Father, I just ask, as we begin to learn to say Master Adonai to you, Master Lord, that you would teach us to let go, to rest, to be okay with you being in control. I ask that in your name. Amen.